Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You are tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a
strangely intimate
podcast for the morbid.
Strangely intimate, butt-tastic. My name's Sanjay. I'm eating some ice cream right now. It's been in my freezer for 3 days. It's from Sonic. Across the internet is Georgia. How are you doing today, Georgia?
Well, it's September 2nd, and you know what that means. It's officially pre-Halloween, so I really hope you're giving some thought to that Edgar Allan Poe costume this year.
That's what I am, actually. On a closer to me side of the internet, also extremely excited about Halloween, is Hope on the ones and twos, doing the fact-checking, doing the search-ins as I make mistakes. Hope, how are you doing today?
I am also very excited that it is Halloween season, and our house reflects that as well, so.
It is very true.
Pretty good.
It's a lot of bats. Real bats. Yo, before... Oh, no! My tumbler's cracked. Hey, this was my favorite one. That sucks. Okay, anyway.
What is in your tumbler?
It's whiskey. It's Uncle Nearest whiskey, because this is the only alcohol in my house right now, aside from some gross wine.
I already drank, like, this much of my wine, and it was supposed to last the whole episode.
I don't think you're good at pacing.
Whoops.
Georgia
it's a very
did not pass
small
the pacer
glass,
test.
As you can see.
No, you just didn't pass the pacer test, which as a child is running from line to line at an increasing tempo. As an adult, it's drinking and not drinking all of your alcohol very quickly and blacking out. I passed one of them. I'll let you be the judge of which one I passed.
Stu just made fun of me because he was like, why does it take you like 3 hours to drink a quart of a glass of wine when we're sitting down watching TV at night? And I was like, that's because I do stuff while I'm watching TV. Like, I'm always researching or, like, working on my baking journal or, I don't know, like, I'm always doing something while we watch TV. But when I'm talking, we're just talking and my hands are free. So I just hold my wine and it's right here close to my mouth all the time.
Also, baking journal
so much easier.
Is the oldest thing I've ever heard you say. I think that's the new that takes the cake officially. Hope, how old was Georgia as of last week?
I am not getting into that. That's between you and her. You can make fun of her.
Oh,
I'm not getting into it.
87? Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad that...
730.
Yeah, you literally got 600 and something years older over the last 20 minutes. Hope even fact-checked it. She can confirm.
It's fine.
With her numbers and her science. What are we talking about today besides your rapid aging?
Wait, we have announcements. I have announcements.
Okay.
Two announcements.
I have one announcement.
Oh, you go first.
I accidentally bought a grotesque amount of stamps. For those of you who don't know, the post office is doing pretty bad. So I had to go to the post office to pick up some earrings from one of my friends that I bought. And the lady was like, hey, is there anything else you want? And I was like, no, wait, I'll take some stamps. And she's like, how many? And I forgot that I was supposed to drop off stamps to one of my friends. I totally forgot. I told her I'd do it 5 hours ago. It's too late now. Sorry, Lauren. Yeah, I didn't know that a sheet, a book, and a roll are three different quantities. I thought it's kind of like an approximation, you know? Like, it's just like, oh, give me some stamps, and they just hand you a generalized number. No, they are very concrete numbers, and I only could remember roll. So I accidentally bought $55 worth of stamps. So
oh, dang.
We got stamps now. Stamps forever.
I got two books of domestic stamps, all the Halloween ones, and then I got one book of international stamps, which are very pretty flowers, so I can send letters to my grandma and all of my international peeps across the pond.
Yeah,
Georgia's I also joined a pen pal thing, so I got like 12 new pen pals, so I was like, oh yeah, I should get some stamps for that. My first announcement, don't forget to send us your Lovecraft thoughts, questions, comments by October 25th so they can be featured on our Halloween bonus show. I did start reading Lovecraft Country to add that extra element to whatever we discuss that episode. And as I'm reading and watching, I am taking a ton of notes. Everything that's like referenced subtly, I'm writing it down because I feel like they do add little bits to the show as you're watching or to the book as you're reading. But if you aren't as avid a Lovecraft fan as someone else might be, you might not catch the significance of that reference as it pertains to, you know, the plot at that time. So I've been taking notes of those. I'm really excited to talk about it all. Book-wise, there's only, I think, there's only like four chapters or something. Like, the first chapter is episodes 1 and 2 of the show, and then the next chapter is like 3 and whatever. We'll go on to that. So
probably
so 4. Far, I am at the beginning of episode 2, book-wise.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also, if you are watching Lovecraft Country, please watch it. Yeah. Episode 2 is kind of, oh, there was a grasshopper on my window and I got so scared. Okay. if you are not currently watching Lovecraft Country, please do. Episode 2 is kind of like whack. It's like, it's very dense, but it is an incredible show.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Episode 3 just came out as of us recording this. Episode 4, I think, will be out the day we release this. Maybe. I think. Yep. Yeah, so, yeah, it is very, very good. Episodes 1 and 3 are incredible, and I highly recommend you watch it, even if you don't like spooky stuff, even if you don't like Jordan Peele, even if you don't like
something. Episode 2 was just a lot.
It was a lot, and it makes sense after episode 3, kind of, like, where it's kind of, a lot of groundwork was laid in episode 2 that is kind of being, like, picked up on, it feels, as we go along, but it was just a lot to digest at the time. But now we're done digesting. We're on to a new meal, but at the same restaurant, so to speak.
My second announcement is that we have had one suggestion we really like for our fans so far, the receivers, because we are broadcasting and you are receiving us with your ears, playing up that vintage radio vibe. So if you have your own suggestions, don't forget to send them in. That's what you have to beat.
Or just match. And if we get enough submissions in that we like as strongly as we like receivers, we'll just mishmash them together. We'll put a bunch of letters in order. We'll see what happens. It'll be a good time. You're going to all be referred to as gibberish, and we will pronounce it differently every time. And by we, I mean me. Georgia will have a strict way that it's supposed to be pronounced, and I will not acknowledge it. I will just say whatever I feel like saying. It'll be good.
That is very accurate.
Yep.
Get buckled up. We're in for a spoopy ride.
Have you seen The Onion movie? This is related.
No.
Okay, so you saying buckled up.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's very good. The Onion is, everyone that listens to this podcast probably knows, it's a like satirical news source. So they made a movie in like 2005 that's just a bunch of very satirical like news stories, but it's like you're actually watching the broadcast, and one of them is for the neck belt and how it's potentially causing harm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in that, you like, so you put on your seatbelt normally, and then there's an additional belt that goes from the left to the right side of your neck if you're in the driver's seat, and the test dummy is in the car and it's going like half a mile an hour.
People get decapitated or something.
Yeah, it like, they make contact at very slow speeds, and then the heads like jettison out of the cars, like just projectile, like rocket out of that. Also related to rockets, cannonballs. Good. We watched New Mutants yesterday. New Mutants is a good movie. If you don't trust IMDb can eat my shorts. It was fun and it was cool. You can tell that the director had to tone down the horror aspect that he wanted to do a little bit. But it is still a good movie. It is suspense, and it's the director likened it to Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, and something else, or pulled influence from them. So you can kind of feel that like old school, like teen kind of coming of age story at the same time as this like pretty big suspense.
Oh, that's like the fourth week in a row that I've said something about buckling up. So here's my idea for our next shirts: skeleton in a convertible car wearing a seatbelt. Or a roller coaster.
Oh, please make a note of that.
Hope's face is frozen in my computer, but it's amazing.
Good.
Looks really excited.
I'm also far away from my microphone. Let's make it more intimate. Let's bring it in close, everybody. Let's spooky hours.
Get sexual.
Sexual.
I'm gonna do something I haven't done in a while, and I'm gonna set a scene.
Ooh, all right.
You are a preteen girl.
Where's the lie, honestly? Where's the lie?
I'm gonna give you a generic 1700s Britain accent.
Do I say blimey? Blimey.
And you're all hormonal and, when will I meet my true love?
Once again, where's the lie?
Also, if you hear any weird noises on my end, Stu is out in the garage building us a pair of cornhole boards, so there might be, like, power tool sounds.
There might be the sound of Stu shooting a nail via a nail gun into his femur, which you can hear from the back. You'll just hear Stu go, nail gun, did cut I want to go first.
We're painting them to be Star Wars themed, I guess.
Nice.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
One's going to have the Rebel Alliance logo, and the other will have the Galactic Empire logo.
Nice.
Okay, teenage girl, oh, you...
It is okay. I, teenage girl, in, living in Europe.
You are all obsessed with meeting your future husband. You want to know who it is. You can't wait. So you turn off all the candles in the house, except the one that you're holding.
Of course.
And you take a mirror.
No.
And
no,
you
no,
walk.
No. No, I know where this is going. I think I don't know. I would not do this. This is very inaccurate. Keep going, but no.
And you walk backwards up a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
In the dark, which yep. already sounds super safe.
It's just a freaking hazard.
And this is how you're supposed to be able to see the face of your future husband. How great is that?
Oh, that's less spooky However, than I thought.
However, it's also possible that you could see the face of the Grim Reaper, or just a skull, and that means you're gonna die before you have a chance to get married.
Doug, first, that's not worth it. Two, that's dangerous. Three, that's scary. Like, why would you... That doesn't make... So I thought this was gonna be some Bloody Mary shit, where it's like, take your favorite candle to the bathroom, blow it out, say Bloody Mary three times, Bloody Mary, 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 and then she scares you, and I did not want that, because that is not good for me. For my constitution. Think of, like, wait, what time period are we in right now?
Well, I said the 1700s, but also my next note says, does that give you a hint as to what we might be talking about?
Okay, so my first thought is, I could get dysentery from this. Like, this is just not a good situation, first. Like, the water's dirty, there's, like, clouds of pollution in the air, the Industrial Revolution hasn't happened, but it's on the rise, you know? I'm not okay with this. Second, if we're talking about the 1700s, we're talking about mm-hmm. the United States of USA. We are founding a country. We're doing it, boys. We're sailing across the ocean, the Nina,
hey, I
Pizza,
said this was
and Santa
in
Maria. Yeah, that's where they... No, those ships are from Spain. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Wait, yep. The plague? Question mark? Well,
unfortunately for you, you are 100% accurate in where this episode is going.
Is it about the song Boats and Hoes by Prestige Worldwide?
No, and I don't know why, but for some reason when you said that, I comprehended what you said, but in my head I heard I'm on a boat.
Oh yeah. That's what I meant.
Lonely Island. So obviously, your preteen girl seeing your husband shit is different from the Bloody Mary that we are familiar with. Is that how it was in your day, three times in the mirror?
Yep, back in, I have a distinct memory of being at a daycare and us, like, or not a daycare, but like a youth services childcare thing, and I had to have been like less than 10 years old, and four of us went into the bathroom and like turned off the lights and like did the Bloody Mary thing, and someone screamed, and I screamed louder, and I don't know who had the girlier scream, let me tell you, me, the person that scared me, or possibly Bloody Mary herself. I don't even know who she is. Why is she still bloody? We're in a bathroom. Wash that off, please. Like, there's so many levels of I'm not happy with this that are going on with that. But yes, I've done the Bloody Mary. I've drank a lot more Bloody Mary after that. And yeah. Ugh. I once boxed a woman named Mary, and she was bloody after, you know, she caught these hands.
Well, I've heard some people say it's three times, some people say it's seven times, some people have different versions that they play. I don't remember playing it. I don't know if it just wasn't a thing in England, or if I just didn't go to those kinds of sleepovers, or if I was just surrounded by people who were like, nah, fuck that. That sounds terrible. Let's not do it. But I don't remember playing it in England at all.
Do you think there's different versions? So it's like Bloody Mary in the US and it's like Bloody Maria. And outside of my house, there's just a dude flossing on his porch, like doing the like Fortnite dance with his bros. There's like five guys surrounding him and like he's just flossing by himself in his pink shirt. Anyway, so also the grasshopper's gone. So do you think it's like Bloody Mary in the US and it's like Bloody Maria in Mexico? And it's like Bloody Mary Beth or something in England, and that's why, or Bloody Marily.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't really read anything along those lines, but I did. Apparently there are several different names that include Bloody Bones, Hell Mary, Mary Worthington, Black Agnes. Some people call her like Kathy or Mary Jane, or there's a ton of different names that she's supposed to go by.
Could you imagine just all of these terrifying things like Bloody Mary, Carnage Slayer, Karen, and like they're just like, I don't know, I feel like that one was just like so different. It's like in Blades of Glory, it's like Laser, Blazer,
I mean,
Slayer, Michelle.
Karen is definitely a thing to fear in 2020, let's be real.
That's true. This is a Karen fearing podcast. If you go into a bathroom and say Karen three Karen. Times, mm-mm. You better have your receipts. It's too much.
You better go get the manager.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the internet was helpful in resurrecting and popularizing Bloody Mary folklore, although variants can be found as early as the 60s, because that's when people started doing hardcore drugs. That's my opinion.
And when dudes were preparing people to murder dudes. People
have tried to interpret or explain the need to play this game in a variety of ways. One folklorist says that it could be a metaphor for adolescent girls entering puberty and like the fear of your body changing and the excitement about having sex for the first time, which, no thanks. I don't want to summon a demon because of those things.
Yeah, this is why nobody trusts women folk. You know, because you're just out here trying to have sex and summon demons. It's too much. I'm just a simple corn farmer, just trying to make my way.
Some people say it's all in the mind, just children's imagination. And then there's one developmental psychologist who says that it's nominal realism, which is the idea that what we think and say influences the real world. You know, like we manifest our reality kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, no thanks.
Did I talk about the anime that was kind of revolved around that concept?
Yes.
Yeah, it's real cool. Everybody watch Inspector, like INSPERTR, Inspector. I completely just butchered that. It's spelled the way it should be with a slash after IN. It's very, very cute. It's and
the Ghost Spectre.
It's so cute. I love it so much. And it's spooky. So it's on brand.
And it's spooky. To go back in history, there are some examples of catoptromancy. It's very hard to say. Catoptromancy. There we go. Which is divination with mirrors. And the earliest example is in 1 Corinthians in the Bible. Then Chaucer writes about it in 1390, and Shakespeare also talks about it in Macbeth in 1606. There's a variation in Britain written about by Robert Burns, who is a pretty famous Scottish poet, and he said, mirror and eat an apple while holding a candlestick, then a spirit will appear, and this is supposed to be maybe the foundation for Snow White, like the apple and the psychic mirror, whatever.
Ooh, that makes sense. Fun fact.
There's a book about folklore that mentioned something along those lines that was written in 1883. It says, when a boy, one of my aunts who lived in Newcastle upon Tyne, used to tell me of a certain girl that she knew who was very vain and fond of standing before the looking glass admiring herself. One night, as she stood gazing, lo, all of her ringlets were covered in dripping sulfur, and the devil appeared peeping over her shoulder. Moral of the story, don't use mirrors. Have fun putting on eyeliner without them.
Yeah, right. I'm not trying to be ugly forever. Come on, if that's what it comes to, sure, summon some demons. They can watch me be ugly before the glow up.
There is like a psychological explanation for why that might have happened, and we'll talk about that later. So put a pin in that real quick.
All right.
Part of boop. The folklore might be part of the... What?
A boop. That was me physically putting a pin in it.
Part of the folklore might be the... Oh, the sound effect. I got you. Okay. Yeah. This lag is, like, killing me. Your response comes, like, 3 seconds after I stop talking.
I'm actually just being dramatic.
Part of the folklore might be the lasting superstition that all the mirrors need to be turned or covered after there is a death in the house. We talked about that a little bit when we talked about Victorian mourning practices. Because an uncovered mirror was an invitation for a ghost to appear.
Ooh.
There are several possibilities for Bloody Mary's inspiration. First is Mary Worthington, as she was known by the village, though her real name is now supposed to be Mary Bloodworth, and she was supposed to be a witch. They say she was the kind of witch who sold herbal remedies, but she was hot, so all the women in the village were jealous. One of those kinds.
So you're saying she was just like a and sexy then all the village, nurse?
Yeah.
Oh.
But an evil, sexy nurse, because all the wives were jealous that their husbands thought she was hot.
That's what I want to be for Halloween. Evil, sexy nurse. I'm just going to be, like, a slutty nurse costume, but, like, cover myself in blood and, like, hold, like, a knife in one hand and, like, I don't know, an avocado in the other one. It's like, do you want the health or do you want the... Or actually, no, I should hold a torch in one hand and then an avocado in the other. So I can say, do you want the health or do you want the hearth? And, you know, try to burn people.
All the village children started disappearing. And she's like, it wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. And the villagers are all like, okay, we don't believe you, but sure. And then one night, one of the village girls is seen following an enchanted sound that no one else can hear. It's very hocus pocus. And all the villagers wake up from the girl's parents causing a commotion. And they find out that Mary is the source of the enchantment, and she runs off into the woods. But it said that she cursed the village with something called the Chanters, which is where all the young girls are compelled to try and summon her by playing something like Bloody Mary. Very 90s sleepover. There is a real Mary Bloodsworth, I can't remember, who was one of the witches that became a victim of the witch trials in Massachusetts. She supposedly made her neighbor's cows go dry and made a young woman crazy, and she ended up drowning herself, which seems like fake news.
Wait, who went I crazy? I think
she was hung. She made the girl go crazy and drown herself.
Okay, cool. That was like, it kind of matters a little bit if the girl who was under the influence went crazy or if the OG Mary went crazy. And I'm like, wow, weird. You just, like, sucked all the milk out of some cows and then were like, I'm too strong, and then jumped into a river. But, yeah, this makes more sense.
There's also supposed to be another real-life Mary Worthington, a 19-year-old pregnant girl in Indiana who won some beauty pageant. She wanted to be an actress. She wasn't married, got pregnant, scandalous. And she was eventually killed by a doctor who turned out to be the baby's father. He murdered her in front of a mirror, and she tried to use her blood to write the murderer's name on the mirror, but she could only get out T-R-E. His name was like Trevor or something, and there was no evidence to point to the doctor otherwise, so her case went unsolved, and she became a vengeful spirit. This is the version that Supernatural uses in the episode that they do about Bloody Mary.
What if she wasn't trying to spell out the murderer's name and she just, like, really wanted some weed? Like, she was, like, ye old stoner and was just like, I need that tree. Like, that was it. Like, that's all she wanted with her lying breath. She wanted to 420 blaze her way into the afterlife. No disrespect to this person that's dead. Much love. One love. Yeah.
One historical figure who shares a nickname with the urban legend is Mary Tudor. She's known as the real Bloody Mary. She was the daughter of Henry VIII and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. What do you know about Henry VIII?
He's the one that married, like, I know a lot about Henry VIII, I think. Oh, great. Let's see if I have my Henry's correct. So this is the guy who was like, yo, I'm king now. I'm I forgot what it's called, when God gives you the right to rule. What's that term?
Divine, can't remember.
Is it divine? I know what you're talking about, though. Okay, Hope, if you could look that up really fast. So he was like, this thing, God says that I should be the king, even though that I am literally just the next person in line to do so. So I'm going to be one with the church. We are it. We're going to vibe. And he finds a lady and he's like, we're going to have a million children. Wait, what's the term?
Divine right.
A divine right. I was right. Dang it.
All
right.
Nailed it.
Thank you, Hope. So he's like, I'm going to have a bunch of kids with you. We're going to bang like crazy. It's going to be sick. Provide me with a son, dog. And she doesn't provide him with a son. And he's like, oh shit, I don't know what to do now because I can't divorce you because, like, the church won't let me. And God chose me to be here. But what if I was actually the church? So he starts his own church. And then he's just like, finding women, having sex, not getting sons, divorcing them, like bang, bang, bang. He's just doing it like left and right, you know, like that scene in Ratatouille when all the mice are running around. He's just like, you're my wife, you're my wife, you're divorced, and he's like running around doing that. And I think someone gets killed eventually, but that's what I know about Henry VIII. Henry VIII is like that scene in Ratatouille with all the mice.
It's called Ratatouille. Oh my god.
It's Ratatouille.
Ratatat is a band.
No.
Ratatouille is the movie.
John Mulaney says Ratatouille, so I will also say Ratatouille.
What if Ratatat did the soundtrack for the movie Ratatouille?
That would be very interesting. Right. That would be a confusing time for me as a fan of Ratatouille.
I'm kind of impressed, not gonna lie. He did behead two of his wives. We learned, so like, obviously I went to school in England, so this was like a big part of learning history for us. And we were taught a rhyme to remember the order in which his wives happened. It's divorce, beheaded, died, divorce, beheaded, survived. So, fun fact.
That's pretty gruesome, dog. I wouldn't tell my kids that. That's like, I don't know. That sounds pretty messed up.
That was like what we were taught at an early age. Speaking of Henry VIII, podcast friend of the show, Don't Look Now, just did an episode of Henry VIII. And this thing called The Field of Cloth of Gold. And I guess there was tons of wine. I was there, but I don't really remember because I'm old enough to have been there, you know. But you should go and check them out if you're into history because they're cool. And one day we'll try to do that crossover that we've been trying to plan for about a year now. Thanks, COVID.
Imagine if Georgia wasn't the only smart person talking all the time. That's what it's going to be like if you listen to their podcast. So just go for it, you know. It's good.
They do have a very similar format to us, though, because most of the time Jenny does all the research and Will has no idea what she's going to be talking about.
One day we'll hopefully do that crossover as well. I want it to happen. Yep. I need it to happen.
What do you know about religious persecution in Britain? Anything?
The Crusades? Question mark?
A lot earlier than Henry VIII, but that is... You are correct, though.
I'll take my one win. I will sit down now. That's all I got. I will wait for more information.
Basically, as you just said, Henry had his six wives. Catherine of Aragon was his first wife. They had Mary, no sons, Catholic, England. Henry's like, well, the church won't let me divorce you, so cool. I'm going to do my own thing, which is pretty much where the Church of England came from. And that's why I was raised, Anglican. It's known as the English Reformation. So now he's not affiliated with the Pope or anything, which technically, I think there was a lot of argument as to whether divine right was still a thing if he separated from the church. But also, he already put it out there that he had divine right, so he could do this, and this was God's will and everything. So it's very controversial. Mary, his daughter, remains Catholic through the divorce. They don't get along very well, Mary and Henry, so that's a fun fact. But she still becomes queen in 1553, and she decides it is time to fix the mess that her father made and make sure that England stays Catholic. So she hunts down bishops, priests, Protestant, you know, practitioners. She burns almost 300 people at the stake as heretics.
What?
And so this is how she got the nickname Bloody Mary.
Ew. On account of all the murder.
That doesn't really correlate to the legend, but that's who she is. Another historical Mary that is maybe an origin of the story is Mary, Queen of Scots. She was a Queen of Scotland around the same time that Mary Tudor was Queen of England. She married her half-cousin, which is cutting a little close there on the whole incest thing.
He half-cousin means it's half not weird. You know, that's what they say in Alabama. Sorry to all my relatives in Alabama.
Yeehaw. So a couple years later, that guy's house blows up and he's found murdered in the garden, which sounds like the beginning of an Agatha Christie novel.
It really does. And one that I very much so would like to read.
So this other guy was accused and eventually acquitted of the murder. And then he turns around and marries Mary. So that's not even a little suspicious.
No, not at all. Very normal thing to do with a very respectable timeline.
A little bit later, there's an uprising against the two of them, Mary and her new husband. And by this time, Mary Tudor had died and her sister, Elizabeth I, was queen in England. So Mary goes to England to hide at Liz's place, and she's like, well, no, and imprisons Mary for, like, 18 years or something, and then decides that she's guilty of plotting to assassinate the queen and has her executed.
Okay.
So Mary, Queen of Scots, is beheaded, but not very successfully. The first axe blow misses her neck and hits her in the back of the head, so that would just hurt.
Wait, so it didn't, like, chop into her head, it just, like, hit her? Like, she got hit with, like, the face of the axe?
I think it still, like, chopped her in the back of the head, but...
Dang, dude.
Probably not enough to, like, kill her.
Just yeah. enough to, like, really make her say yikes.
So then the second one mostly severed her neck, but there's still some, like, sinews holding on, you know? And so the executioner cuts through that with the axe, and then he... picks up her head to, like, present it to the people watching.
Like it's an Emmy.
So they pick it up by the hair, except she's wearing a wig. So he picks up the head, and it falls out of the wig and just rolls away.
Dude, that's...
Wouldn't you want to be a vengeful spirit if that happened to you? Yes, I would.
I would. That's too much. It's way too much.
So that's a second possibility, but... Again, that doesn't really have anything to do with, like, correlating to the legend.
It's just some fun facts. Then, some very not fun facts.
Another proposed possibility is Elizabeth Bathory, whose name is actually pronounced, like, Battery or something like that. But everyone knows her as Elizabeth Bathory, so I'm just going to go with that. She's worth doing an entire episode on sometime, so we'll just do a hitting the highlights section right here. She was born in... Transylvania in 1560 to a noble family, and apparently she was taught Satanism, I question that, and sadomasochism from an early age by some family members. No kink shaming or anything, but like, maybe wait till they're an adult to teach them sadomasochism.
Yes, I would agree. Hear, hear.
So she gets married off to a count when she is 15, and he builds her the torture chamber of her dreams. How romantic is that?
On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe like a 3 or a 4, I would say.
She would take her servant girls in there, and she would do things like push needles under their fingernails, smear them with honey to attract insects, crazy stuff like that.
Normal kid stuff. You know, just completely normal kid stuff.
I was doing that when I was 15. What were you doing, Jesus?
Crying by myself. Not pouring honey on dudes. And trying to feed them to bugs, because that's gross.
It's believed that though her husband did participate in some of these things, he kind of kept her in check. But he goes off to war and he dies, and then she gets real crazy. And at this point, she would lure girls from the village to the castle, being like, hey, I can give you a job as one of my servants. Just, you know, come here. And then they'd never be seen again.
How much money would someone have to pay you for you to know that they're probably going to, like, do some weird stuff to you? Like, you have a reputation for it, but you're like, I need that check, you know? Like, how much, like, in modern day money, how much, let's say a year, would you have to be slated to make for you to think that it's worth it?
I don't know. I don't know if I could have a job where I had to go and live with my employer. I don't like that idea.
But you're technically, like, also living with all of your coworkers. So think of it like that. Think of it like living with all your coworkers And instead of going to work down the street or across the street or 30 minutes away, it's like down the hall.
No, that sounds awful.
I would do it for 50 grand. I would not need that much money. I want to die anyway.
That's it?
That's it, 50 G's. If anybody, if a rich person wants to dip me in honey like I'm fucking Yogi Bear, then you can go for it. But 50 G's.
It got to a point where, so originally people would just be like, oh yeah, jobs at the castle, we need those. And it took a while, but eventually none of these kids would return home or send money home or anything, and people started to get suspicious, but it took a while. And at that point, that's when she started, like, kidnapping kids to get them to the castle.
Yeah.
But she would torture them, bite chunks out of them. One story is that she made a girl cook and eat part of her own flesh. Very Hannibal season two.
That's disgusting. Do you think there was like it was a potluck and like the girl's like, I don't have anything, you want some toes? And that's how that happened? Like, that's just so much.
I'm gonna go with no. It was it reminds me a lot of Madame Lalaurie in New Orleans, which we'll have to do an episode on sometime, except hers were slaves, not servants. At least the servants got paid a little bit, but yeah. Madame Lalaurie would torture her slaves in like the most fucked up ways. Brain stirring is a thing that happens. It's disgusting.
Brain stirring?
Yeah.
I don't like that. That sounds like a gross sentence. I just, No.
We'll talk about that one day. You can look forward to it. It's awful.
I'm going to immediately forget about it after we finish recording today for my own sanity, and I'll just get upset later.
So anyway, some people think that she believed that the blood, bathing in the blood of young girls would keep her looking young. It works for me. I don't know.
I'm actually vegan recently, so I just use ketchup, and I think that it does the same thing. If you cover yourself with ketchup, you will look so young forever. Nurture your skin, water your crops, you know, you'll be great.
Eventually she was put on trial for 80 counts of murder, but there were people who believed that this entire story was political slander to get her out of the castle.
That's so, a lot of lies.
We'll talk about that.
Like, that's so many for it to just be like, oh, lol, JK, just didn't want her to live here anymore.
But it's also, like, the beginning of the 1600s, so it's not like they have anything better to do.
I guess so. Like, I don't know, though, man. Like, they still had, like, rocks to play with. They could play hammers.
I did see the final historical possibility is about a bartender in the 1920s. He worked at this place called Harry's New York Bar in Paris, which, why is it a New York bar in Paris? I don't understand.
It's just selling, like, greasy pizza. Famous. It's serving, like sewage smells. I'm like, hey, you want to come over here? You want to get yelled at by a crazy person? That's it.
And he's really well known for coming up with cocktails. He moves to the real Manhattan, not the one where you guys are. He brings all of his cocktails with him, and it's called, he has this one called a red snapper, which just sounds like a fish to me, so.
I think it is a fish.
I definitely don't want it. I mean, snapper for sure is a fish. But anyway, he didn't kill a bartender mixing up tomato juice and vodka, spicing it up, coming at you with a Bloody Mary.
Yes, the real Bloody Mary, you know? Just, oh,
surprise.
Man.
Surprise!
I mixed up my ketchup bottle and my blood bottle. I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just guess. 50-50 shot.
Some people think that the cocktail is also named after, like, Bloody Mary Tudor, the Queen of England. And the tomato juice is symbolic of all the blood she spilled. And the vodka is fire water for all the people that she burned alive.
And the hot sauce is because she was a spicy lady. You know, just a real cool youth. I like the drink less now than I did 5 minutes ago, some would say.
I hate Bloody Marys. Disgusting. In Japan, so there's this crazy version in Japan where you go into the girls' bathroom, usually of like a school or something. It's commonly on the third floor, and you knock 3 times on the door of the third stall, and you ask if Hanako-san is present, and then if the response is some version of yes, then You are boned. You get pulled into the toilet, which is maybe a portal to hell, or maybe you're just eaten by a three-headed lizard. No one really knows, but, you know, go find out for yourself if you want.
This sounds very Moaning Myrtle to me, but maybe not.
Listen, the origins of the story, they vary, but she's a small child who is sometimes murdered by a stranger, sometimes by an abusive parent, or sometimes she commits suicide on the school bathroom, and sometimes she was killed in the bathroom during a World War II air raid. But either way, she haunts the bathroom, and the whole time I was just reading, it's fucking Moaning Myrtle. Oh my god.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't... Your name might not be so, Harry Potter, but she's coming for your Chamber of Secrets, you know.
Worth mentioning. That sounds sexual.
Oh, it is. Or not. It depends on the day.
Maybe to ease your mind about the spooky stuff, I did mention there was, like, a psychological thing going on. So there is likely science at play here. And basically, you know those images where you, like, stare at the cross and the surrounding background, like, all turns to gray?
No. But I think, yes. I don't know the exact image you're referencing, but I think I do know the concept.
Well, that's an example of the Troxler effect. Your brain just ignores things that aren't relevant or that aren't stimulating your vision or what, something like that.
Hmm.
So similarly, if you stare at your own face for a long time, it'll start to rearrange itself.
What?
One psychologist conducted an experiment in 2010 asking 50 people to stare at themselves in the mirror in a dimly lit environment for 10 minutes. 66% saw monstrous and fantastical beings, 28% saw an unknown person, and then some of them described seeing the face of their dead parent, a wild animal, a small child, or an old woman.
What the heck? Dude, these people are having some weird bathroom visits, or just some weird mirror visits, period. Like, I don't know, I feel like I've stared at myself for a while in the mirror, and I'm never like... Oh shit, there's Danny Glover. It's like, no, like, there's that guy I don't want to deal with right now. It's me. That's it. Yeah.
This is also related to the ability that we have to find faces in tree bark or...
Toast.
I don't know, belly button lint or clouds or Jesse Jesus and toast. The distortion of an image also makes it, gives it familiar attributes to fill in the gaps, so... Some people have said they see their forehead disappear, their mouth, like, take over the entire bottom part of their, like, all their cheeks and everything.
What does that mean?
Or their eyeballs sink all the way into the back of their head.
Dude, how does your forehead disappear?
I don't know. Because your brain makes it go away.
No, but, you know, like, how physically, you're... like, does it mean that your hairline goes down to your eyebrows? Or does it mean that, like, you literally see through the skull part of where your forehead is right now, and you just see, like, your brain?
I think it means that your hairline moves. Because it's all about distortion, it's not about it going invisible, so.
I guess. But some would say those are the same thing. Hope, has someone said that that's the same thing before? Can you look that up? Hope is nodding, or shaking her head, no, but I think we can all agree. That I'm probably right here.
No, that's not a thing.
Boo.
Blah, 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 blah. I have a challenge for any of you listening. Can someone please try this who's not terrified of everything?
Yeah, can someone please remove your forehead? You
saw. Number one fan, where you at?
No, don't. We need you. Please, no.
I'm not going to try it because I hate everything about what I've read. One of the hosts of the And That's Why We Drink podcast I listened to, she was like, oh, I used to do this on accident all the time when I was a kid. And she goes, one time I saw myself basically transform into a demon. And I was like, I don't ever want to do this.
Why would you not stop before then? Like, there's multiple times where you could just look away.
Understanding the science of it makes me less scared of it. But I still don't want to do it because I don't want to be grossed out by the things that I... will be unable to see.
Yeah, like, I can't fix my ugly. It's gonna be there forever. I don't want to be afraid of it in addition to just not liking it. That's a different level. No thank you.
I didn't really like, there's not a whole lot of pop culture. I mean, there was that episode of Supernatural. I think there's an episode of Charmed as well. And then Clive Barker's Candyman. movie was supposed to be inspired by Bloody Mary, but that's about it.
So this kid that I know, he's like 18. He's a soldier. Posted on a Snapchat story a couple weeks ago that he was watching Candyman. It was a picture of like the movie, and he was like, yo, this movie's scary. And then it was a picture of the next scene, or it was a picture of the screen, but there wasn't a person on the screen. And he was like, the main character kind of cute though. And then the next snap was a close of his face saying, I meant the female, not Candyman, dude. And because I guess enough people like were like, you think Candyman's hot, that he had to like make a public announcement that he wasn't talking about Candyman. But on an directly related note, like 3 months ago, I was talking to my friend Salem and their fiance, and actually I was talking to my friend Salem and they and their fiance had just watched Candyman the night before, and they were like, and we were on Discord with our friend Scott that we play games with, and Salem was like, you guys ever seen Candyman? And I was like, no. And Scott was like, yeah. And Salem was like, dude's kind of hot, right? Like, is it just me? And Scott was like, no, dude's definitely hot. Like, it's scary. Like, that's the real fear. The scariest thing about Candyman is how attractive he is.
That he's not. Yeah.
It's like in SpongeBob when Squidward is trying to, I think he's like performing or something. And he's like, I have to imagine schooling him in his underwear. And he does. And Squilliam is like,
oh, no, chiseled.
He's like, oh no, he's hot. And my friend Kevin will yell that all the time. Like, no context. Whenever someone gives advice and then it doesn't go well, he'll just go, oh no, he's hot. And it's so funny. Like, every time. That's none of that was related to any of this. We've talked about Bloody Marys a lot, which I feel like is pop culture. You know, like my blood alcohol content. That's pop culture.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any... this is the second time I've asked a question about this Harry Potter character in the last 3 weeks. Hope, can you look up if Nearly Headless Nick is slightly, like, inspired by Bloody Mary on account of the headlessness? Okay, Hope does not think so. I can tell by her expressions, but she's looking that up.
Yeah, I don't think either.
But I feel like that's a thing. Oh no, because, like, Marie Antoinette also got her head cut off, and that's actively, like, a thing that recurs in, like, pop culture, but... into the medias.
I'm gonna guess that there are a lot of people out there who had their heads cut off unsuccessfully. But...
Oh yeah, name seven. Gotcha. In podcast.
Yeah, name seven people who got beheaded, so.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, that was not related.
Thank you for the
research. I looked it up, though.
Thank you. It was so fast that I just assumed you, like, picked up your phone and just, like, slapped your fingers on, like, on your phone to look like you were typing. And were just like, oh, that dumb idiot's asking me to look something up again. But I appreciate it. Thank you for actually looking that up and not just playing me. Yeah, I can't think of anything else besides me being 8 years old in a bathroom and screaming and me drinking Bloody Marys a lot, like, 2 years ago. That's all I got. Wow, I'm sorry.
I mean, I know that Bloody Marys go well with brunch, and I miss brunch. Like, Sue and I were just talking last night that we're still real salty that we can't just go down to Celtic and get brunch, so it's fine, I guess.
Hope has technically had three brunches this week. She's living the dream.
Such a 2020 thing.
Yeah, I've had
one brunch. No, just kidding. It's such a 2019 thing because 2020, you can't go anywhere.
Exactly. But yeah, everyone, I think that, like, mimosas and Bloody Marys are, like, the two ends of the spectrum for brunch. And I think that they're both important, at least to have the option for, because sometimes, like, I want really sweet, like, brunch food, but I need something savory, and I don't want to just, like, add more meat or, like, add something else that's, like, heavy. So by having a Bloody Mary, it kind of, like... makes it, like, calms down, like, that desire, and I can enjoy my, like, super sweet food a little bit more without having to, like, add on, like, bacon or sausage or whatever else kids add to brunch these days. What's your favorite brunch food? I also don't
really eat sweet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I like waffles.
Waffles are not brunch food. That does not count.
I also just want to throw back to the time we recorded our first two episodes and I showed up at your house with a purse full of waffles that I made.
Yeah, that was kind of scary.
And you were super hungover.
I was so hungover. It was a really good time, and I wouldn't change it for anything. But if I could change something, I'd change the hangover. And that's it. It's the only one thing I would change.
I showed up with waffles and a can of whipped cream. It was great.
Good times.
Yeah, I don't know. Normally, if I'm going for brunch, I'll get like a... at Celtic, I usually got the BLT with the egg on it, or like one of the specials. I like egg sandwiches, like any kind of egg on a muffin or a sandwich or something. So
yeah, that's very British of you, but I think that eggs are also very crucial to the brunch experience. Like, I think I always get something with egg, or even like this on Sunday, Hope got the ricotta and blueberry pancakes with potatoes and eggs, and I got a lobster and something else scramble, which was like pretty good.
Lemon
Where
ricotta.
Where did you go?
Lemon ricotta. We went to Five, a new American restaurant located in historic downtown Manhattan, Kansas. Sense. Yeah, it was good. I
only went there for brunch once, and I forget that that's the thing they do.
Yeah, I think it's not... I think I can say it's underrated. Like, it's pretty underrated. Their food's really good. Stuff comes out quickly. Everyone's nice, except for my friends that work there. But they were nice on Sunday, so that's all that matters. Generally, they're mean to me, though.
And they have the...
Oh, yeah, they have bottomless mimosas. It's $25. So if that's your jam...
I think that I definitely did that.
Thank you for listening to Broadcast from the Belfry. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please like and subscribe us. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. It really helps us with the algorithm, which we don't understand, but we're told that it's important and it looks like it is. So yeah, please like and subscribe, or dislike and unsubscribe, but like, please don't do that actually. I'll cry. I've had a rough week. And if you would like to contact us with any criticisms instead of unliking and unsubscribing, you can contact us via Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook by searching Broadcast from the Belfry in the search bar, emailing us at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com. or by clicking the Linktree link in the description of this podcast, and it'll take you directly to all of those things. Thank you to Marshall for the sick music. You make us sound so professional, make us look so professional. You can hit him up as well. His information is in the description, I believe. It is. I don't know why I said I believe. I know it is. His information is also down there if you want to contact him. Or get some sick music as well to sound super professional. Please remember again, if you are watching along with Lovecraft Country, just send us some thoughts, send us some feels, or keep them bottled up. And then at the end of the show, send us a big form email or a long form email or physical letter, which you technically can't do, but that's it's a little foreshadowing maybe for the future. Send those to us, write down your thoughts. We will be doing a pretty, probably actually like 2-part episode about all of Lovecraft Country when it's over. So yeah, we'd love to have an open dialogue with you. Like my parents said to me growing up, I think I love you, and that's how I feel about you guys. So please just keep those things going. I think that's all of the announcements and stuff. I have stamps, so if you want me to send you something, I guess I could do that. Got the stamps for it. Georgia, do you have any other thoughts?
Nope.
All right, well, what do we say to these hip youths, these cool cats, these unlimited potential umbras that are listening to this podcast?
Thanks for listening, and stay spooky.
Bloody Mary with a little bit of Worcestershire, a little bit of Texas Pete, bacon strip in, maybe a toothpick with olive, a little bit of sausage, and then another olive, and like... pretty good vodka. You don't want to settle for the cheap stuff. Sluts.
Hey, Dylan.